So when we're talking about this guy named Saul, who eventually became Paul, we're talking about a guy that has moved from law to grace. I mean, we have to go all the way back, way before he was born, to Mount Sinai. We're not sure where Paul actually lived when he was in Arabia. If you remember, he spent some time there. But some believe that it was in the same vicinity where Moses had received the Ten Commandments. We see that in Exodus 20, 1 through 17. And Moses gets those Ten Commandments. He also gets other laws and these regulations from the Lord there at Mount Sinai. And if it's an accurate interpretation of this, it gives us a fascinating correlation between Paul's experience and what happens to Moses in that very area centuries before. After Moses had delivered the children of Israel from Egypt, God led them to the foot of that holy mountain. It's there that Moses received the moral and civil laws. It doesn't seem coincidental that the Lord may have led Paul to Mount Sinai to reveal to him not his laws, but the gospel of his grace. And this is going to be a revolutionary message for Paul. All his life, he had believed he could earn righteousness and salvation by keeping these rules. And reflecting on this experience, he confessed even to the Philippian Christians that he had put confidence in the flesh, that in regard to law, he was a dedicated Pharisee, and as for legalistic righteousness, he was faultless. He worked hard at this. We see that in Philippians 3, 4 through 6. So though he certainly began to understand salvation by grace, the moment he was converted on that Damascus road, he came into a much fuller understanding of the truth while he's in Arabia. That's why he also wrote to the Galatians using a prison metaphor to describe our relation to the law compared with our freedom in Christ when our faith unlocks the doors that keep us in bondage. He says, before this faith came, we were held prisoners by the law, locked up until faith should be revealed. So the law was put in charge to lead us to Christ, that we may be justified by faith. And that faith has come. We are no longer under the supervision of the law. We see that in Galatians 3, 23 through 25. So in view of that, his calling to preach the message he had once denied, it's logical, therefore, to conclude that God would lead him to the place where the law was originally given, so that he could understand the whole concept of grace. And so he receives this direct revelation. And so if Paul received God's message of grace at Mount Sinai, we see another correlation. So just as Moses received the Old Testament message or the law directly from God, so Paul received the New Testament message, which would be grace, directly from God. He describes this experience in that same letter to the Galatians. He goes, I want you to know, brothers, that the gospel I preached is not something that man made up. I did not receive it from any man, nor was I taught it. Rather, I received it by revelation from Jesus Christ. Galatians 1, 11 and 12. So Paul's not saying that he was the only one who had received this kind of truth. Rather, he was reporting that Jesus Christ revealed the gospel to him before he had consulted other New Testament leaders. As we'll see, as we keep talking about this, his conversations later with Peter and the other apostles in Jerusalem only confirmed that these experiences they had, they were valid, they were real. And that leads to more insights that become clearer to Paul during this obscure period of his life. If you take a look with me at 1 Corinthians chapter 15, beginning at verse 3, says, for I delivered to you as of importance what I also received, that Christ died for our sins in accordance with the Scriptures, that he was buried, that he was raised on the third day in accordance with the Scriptures, and that he appeared to Cephas, then to the 12, then he appeared to more than 500 brothers at one time, most of whom are still alive, though some have fallen asleep. Then he appeared to James, then to all the apostles. Last of all, as to one untimely born, he appeared also to me. For I am the least of the apostles, unworthy to be called an apostle, because I persecuted the church of God. But by the grace I am what I am, and his grace toward me was not in vain. On the contrary, I worked harder than any of them, though it was not I, but the grace of God that is with me." So during that stay in Arabia, Paul also began to understand that he had an apostolic role that was coming into being. And his calling to be an apostle differed greatly from the others. These 12 spent 3.5 years following Jesus while he traveled through Galilee and Judea. They heard Jesus teach that he was the true Messiah and he was the Savior of the world, and that this salvation came through faith, not the law. And we see that in John 3:16. They saw him work miracles to prove his deity. We see that in John 20, verse 31, and witnessed his death and resurrection. Then, before he ascended, they heard Jesus proclaim the Great Commission to make disciples of all nations. We see that in Matthew 28, 19 and 20. They then witnessed the powerful coming of the Holy Spirit in Jerusalem and experienced that spectacular birth of the church, Acts 2, 1 through 11. Paul, on the other hand, received his divine call to be an apostle after Christ had returned to heaven and after the Holy Spirit had come on the day of Pentecost. In fact, the church had multiplied phenomenally, involving thousands of believers, Acts 2:41 and Acts 4, verse 4. Paul never fully understood God's mercy and grace in calling him to that same high position held by the other apostles, especially in view of his hatred toward those who believed in Jesus Christ. Consequently, he wrote to the Corinthians, "For I am the least of the apostles and do not even deserve to be called an apostle, because I persecuted the church of God. But by the grace of God, I am what I am, and his grace to me was not without effect. No, I worked harder than all of them, yet not I, but the grace of God that was with me." And that's the 9th and 10th verses of that 1 Corinthians 15. In spite of his unworthy feelings, though, Paul knew beyond a shadow of a doubt that Jesus Christ had called him to be an apostle. Writing to Timothy, he said, "Without reservation, for there is one God and one mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus, who gave himself as a ransom for all men, the testimony given in its proper time. And for this purpose, I was appointed a herald and an apostle. I am telling the truth. I'm not lying, and a teacher of the true faith to the Gentiles." Paul not only believed he had this special calling because of what Jesus revealed to him directly, but also because of the special gifts he received from Jesus Christ in Ephesians 4, 11 and 12. So in defending his apostleship to the Corinthians, he reminded them that the things that mark an apostle, which are signs and wonders and miracles, were done among you with great perseverance. We see that in 2 Corinthians 12, verse 12. No one could deny that Paul had a unique and special calling, just like Peter and the other men who were taught directly by Christ and given the same powerful spiritual gifts to verify that calling. But we see a move also from Israel to the church. So there's one other major truth Paul certainly must have learned, and that was for the first time that in his stay at Arabia. In his letter to the Ephesians, he calls it the mystery of Christ. In essence, he's talking about the church. When you think about Paul grew up as Saul, and all he knows is a Jewish world with the temple and synagogues and sacrifices. And it's just, then now he gets this new descriptive metaphor. See, all of his early life, Paul believed that he had a corner in God's promises, because he was an Israelite. He had little use for Gentiles and believed they were outside of God's earthly and eternal plan. But while in Arabia, God revealed this wonderful design regarding the church. And Paul learned that this mystery is that through the gospel, the Gentiles are heirs together with Israel, members together of one body, and sharers together in the promise in Christ Jesus. That's Ephesians 3, verse 6. And again, Paul doesn't claim to be the only one to understand the mystery. Thus, he wrote that it has now been revealed by the Spirit to God's holy apostles and prophets. However, Paul once again learned this truth, not from other men, but directly from Jesus Christ. This is why he stated, "Surely you have heard about the administration of God's grace that was given to me for you. That is the mystery made known to me by revelation." So this statement also correlates with what Paul wrote to the Galatians when he said, I did not receive it, the gospel from any man, nor was I taught it. Rather, I received it by revelation from Jesus Christ. So this gospel not only involved the message regarding the Lord's death, burial, and resurrection, but also to that all who believe this message became one in Christ. So he writes, you are all sons of God through faith in Christ Jesus. For all of you were baptized into Christ, have clothed yourself with Christ. There's neither Jew nor Greek, slave nor free, male nor female, for you are all one in Christ Jesus. Galatians 3, 26 through 28. And so Paul is learning all of these things in Arabia at the feet of Jesus.